You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Mark King, host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Also cover the Grizzlies at grizzlybearblues.com. You can check out all of my writing over there at grizzlybearblues.com, the assistant editor. And you can follow me on Twitter at King_producer. So make sure you check out that and follow me over there. We can talk about the Grizzlies, talk about whatever you want. It's a fun time over in the Twitterverse, but let's get into it. We have to talk about that Jazz game that happened last night. Man, that was something else. There's lots to unpack in that game. So we're going to be going over that Utah Jazz loss last night, 96-88 for the Grizzlies. They are no longer unbeaten at home. I kind of feel responsible for this since my title of the podcast yesterday was they were unbeaten 5-0. Now they are 5-1. But it was going to happen sometime. The Grizzlies were not going to win every single game at home, and here we are. The Jazz came in and they were angry. But in the middle part of the show, we're going to talk about some lineups. We're going to talk about some things that make a difference. There was a lot of talk last night. JB rolled with Kyle Anderson down the stretch instead of Jaren Jackson. So we're going to get into that, what the difference would have been if he were to play. Would he have been a difference? Would they have won the game? I don't know. We're going to check it out in the middle segment of the show. In the last segment, we're going to talk about the Dillon Brooks injury. If you don't already know, the Dillon Brooks injury is he has a MCL sprain out 6 to 8 weeks. That could be pretty big for the Grizzlies. I think that's something that they are probably going to miss. So we're going to talk about that and what that means for the Grizzlies. But first, let's get into the loss to the Jazz last night. Grizzlies lose to the Jazz 96-88, now 5-1 at home. I think this is a reoccurring theme, but the Grizzlies couldn't make shots. Grizzlies started the game 13-2. With the Jazz leading. So it was a tough stretch in the first part of the game. It's something that happened the other night against the 76ers. They started bad, couldn't make shots, really missed a lot of bunnies around the rim. It's something that they really, really need to fix. But the Grizzlies, they lack offense. That's really what it boils down to, is that they lack offense. But beyond Mark and Mike, there isn't a lot there. So, you know, they only scored 16 in the first quarter, 19 in the fourth quarter, and then they held the Jazz to 20 in the first quarter and 22 in the fourth quarter. If you're holding opponents to 20 and 22 with your defense in the first and fourth quarter respectively, you have to score. You have to win those quarters, and the Grizzlies somehow couldn't do that. They, you know, 16 and 19. That's just not going to win you many games in the NBA. I know that they're on this grit and grind style and bringing back defense and playing in the mud, but you know, you have to score if you're going to be a playoff team. It's just that simple. They've got to find a way to, either turn that defense into more offense or just play, you know, they have to just find better ways to score the basketball. Grizzlies lose the offensive rebounding advantage 13-8. Rudy Gobert was an absolute monster last night. I believe he had 16 or 17 rebounds, almost 20 points. I mean, it's something that if you're going, we talked about this on the podcast yesterday, the Grizzlies were going to have to limit those offensive rebounds, and it's not something they could do. The Grizzlies had 16 turnovers, which doesn't, you know, which is normally fine, I guess. I think the Jazz only had 19 turnovers, but the difference being the Grizzlies had 16 turnovers and the Jazz scored 24 points off of those 16 turnovers. And that is the problem. You're turning it over in bad spots where it's leading out to transition buckets. Throwing the ball away on the baseline where it goes out of bounds, that's one thing. Throwing a bad pass where it gets intercepted and you take it down the court and they're able to score, that's a totally different ball game. Something that, you know, the Grizzlies really can't afford to do. Rudy Gobert had 15 points and 16 rebounds, three block shots. Rudy Gobert was really, really good last night. Mike Conley was good last night. Mike Conley was good, you know, two games in a row. He had talked about possibly Mike Conley, you know, really not looking good, but the last two games he's looked great. 24 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, was 3 from 8 from 3, or 3 of 8 from 3. And that's another point of emphasis. The Grizzlies, were not good shooting. They just weren't. They were, let's see, 4 from 24 from three last night, which is like 16% or something like that. I mean, it's just, it's awful. Besides Mike, who was 3 for 8 from three, the Grizzlies are looking at a team. You're looking at a team that was like 1 for 16. I mean, that's awful in any stretch in the NBA. And I took a gander just to see what the past games for the Grizzlies were from three. Last games, 76ers, they were 11 for 30 against the Nuggets. They were 8 for 21 against the Warriors. They were 9 for 27. Suns, 7 for 23. Jazz, 13 for 26. Wizards, 13 for 28. And I guess the Suns before that, they were 9 for 26. So that's really something that, you know, you can't have that. I mean, you're not going to win many, if any, games at all in the NBA shooting as a team. You know, besides one player going 1 for 16, then as a team going 4 for 24, shooting 16%, it's just not going to happen. And so that was their worst shooting performance of the year by far. And I know it feels like there's been more bad possessions other than that, but trust me, that was it. As bad as it looked, that was it. Garrett Temple, not good. We talked about this yesterday. What would Garrett Temple be? And, you know, Garrett Temple's a guy who's going to play good defense, but that shot's not always going to be there for him. He's not going to be there every night scoring 17 points. And it was happened last night. 6 points. Shelvin Mack, 9 points. Neither one of them hit a three in this past few games. You know, speaking of the 76ers games, Garrett Temple hit some timely threes back-to-back that were able to, you know, either tie the game or put the game ahead, you know, late in the game last night. That just didn't happen. The Grizzlies, you know, they didn't have anybody else other than Mike and Mark that were doing anything at all. And so it was a combination of things, you know, kind of a lot of guys weren't good at the same time, which really hurts for the Grizzlies. So Garrett Temple, Shelvin Mack not being good at the same time is not good. And that leads into the next point is the Grizzlies only played 8 guys off the bench with Shelvin Mack, Marshawn Brooks, and Wayne Seldon coming off the bench. That's not gonna cut it long term. I mean, that's really because of injuries. You're looking at a team that, looking up in the year, they were supposed to be. You know, we all talked about. I think I even wrote an article about how much depth they had now. How you know they could realistically play 10, 11, possibly even 12 guys that probably deserve minutes. And now you're looking at, and they got 8 guys. I mean, whatever wing depth they had is vanished. And it has vanished quickly, and so JB's gonna have to figure this out. I mean, yeah, they don't even have a true backup big coming off the bench. You have Ivan Rabb, who didn't even play last night. So, you know, if Jaren Jackson starting, you really don't even have a backup big coming off the bench. So, it was a night for the Grizzlies that just it wasn't good, and a lot of things besides Mark and Mike just didn't click. And then you don't have a bench that can really score. You don't have other players that can even really score. You know, Jaren Jackson was 10, 10, and 5. It was, I think, the first player since Pau Gasol to have a double-double with 5-plus blocks. So he was good throughout the game. And we'll talk about him down the stretch in the lineups they played down the stretch in the next segment. But, you know, he was good. But, you know, even, you know, Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, 28, and I think Mark had 17. Let me look here. But even that, you know, you have to have something more. Marc Gasol had 16. You have to something more than that. You know, when Kyle Anderson and Garrett Temple, Kyle Anderson having 7 points and Garrett Temple having 6, two of your starters scoring 7 and 6, that's not going to win you any games in the NBA, or if any at all, you know, or it's not that many, excuse me. So that's something they're going to have to fix, and they're going to have to fix it quickly because they're going to take up and go on to play the Bucks. It doesn't get any easier playing the Bucks on tomorrow on Wednesday. So it doesn't get any easier for the Grizzlies. So they're going to have to figure it out pretty quickly. But you know, it's a tough loss, but it's one that I kind of not expected, but I expected them to lose the one in Utah. And I expected them to win the one here. So for me, it's kind of a push, you know, that you win two in Utah, which I honestly wholeheartedly expected them to lose, and they lose the one in Memphis. I mean, the Utah Jazz team is not a slouch team. They're a good team. So, you know, that's going to happen. They're going to lose. And then there are going to be nights when not everybody's shooting well. And unfortunately for the Grizzlies, when there's nights when not everybody's shooting well and playing well, besides Mark and Mike, they don't have that third, you know, team score as a whole. they're not going to win that many games, no matter how good of a defense that you play. So, but coming up next after the break, we're going to talk about the lineups. We're going to talk about a little bit if JJ, Jaren Jackson Jr. could help down the stretch and what some of those lineups mean, why I think JB went with Kyle Anderson instead. So we'll talk about that after the break. Welcome back to the show. Coming up in the last segment of the show, we're going to take a look at what the loss of Dylan Brooks means for the Grizzlies and how that affects the lineups. You know, it's not going to be a long segment, but I think it deserves to be talked about. I think Dylan Brooks is someone that is probably a contributor and probably already missed us as of last night's game. But this segment, I want to talk about this. I saw a lot on Twitter last night that people were just killing JB. For not playing Jaren Jackson Jr. down the stretch. He was good. For me, I see both sides of it. You know, I understand why people want Jaren Jackson Jr. in the game at the end of the game. He's a good defender. He's a good shot blocker. But I also understand what JB was trying to do. JB was trying to win the game, obviously. And it's not like Jaren Jackson Jr. didn't play. It's not like Jaren just sat on the bench all night and didn't do anything. It was just a situation where he felt to win the game, he needed to match up with their players the best he can. And when you're rolling Ingles out of there, they rolled Ingles out of the four late in the game. They had Jay Crowder out there, the three, Donovan Mitchell at the two. I mean, that's tough. You know, you put Marcus on Rudy Gobert and hope for the best. And then you want Kyle Anderson out there. This is the sole reason you brought Kyle Anderson into your organization. There was so much talk and there's so much excitement about Kyle Anderson at the beginning of the year because he was someone you could play small ball four with when those situations arose, when there were teams that were, had smaller players and were quicker and more athletic, and you could switch everything on the defensive end. Well, that's exactly what they did last night. What everybody was so excited about for Kyle Anderson was the exact situation that arose last night. You had Joe Ingles at the four, so you did exactly what you probably were supposed to do in that situation. Now, it didn't work out, and that's why everybody is playing the blame game of why you didn't put Jaren Jackson Jr. in. And that's fine, but it didn't work out. But I don't think Jaren Jackson Jr. out there trying to run around with Joe Ingles is going to do any better. In fact, I think it's going to be much, much worse. Joe Ingles is going to put Jaren Jackson Jr. out there, and they're going to put Joe Ingles and Donovan Mitchell in a pick and roll immediately. And I don't care how good you think Jaren Jackson Jr. is on the perimeter, he's not good enough to stay with Joe Ingles and Donovan Mitchell. He's not that quick. I mean, maybe you could have hidden him on Jay Crowder. Maybe. I just don't think that's probably going to be your best bet. And so, JB did exactly what he probably was supposed to do. And far be it from us as spectators to question the idea of the coaches. Now, JB is someone who, to be quite honest, is still a rookie head coach and still has learning to do. There is still no indication of whether JB is a good head coach or not. Same thing with David Fizdale before he got fired. There was no indication really if he was a good coach. So it's just going to take some time before JB really learns everything. So I don't fault him for that. It didn't work out. Now you come on the backside of that and had this worked out and you won, you pulled it out. JB would have been praised for the fact that you put Kyle Anderson in there and he's able to stay with everybody and score and all that jazz. It's just reactions of the situation and what happened. They lose, everybody questions Jaren Jackson Jr. Maybe you get a little more offense with Jaren out there, out there on the offensive end, but I think you lose just as much defense. So it's kind of the same thing. You have better defense and you're able to switch everything with Kyle Anderson, but yeah, you lose a little bit on offense. So that's where I think I will agree with most people who say they're using Kyle Anderson incorrectly. Kyle Anderson does not get used as much as I think he should be used on the ball. It's one thing he said in his press conference when he came here was that he likes to get others involved and create on the ball. And I think that's something that we should really try to be seen more of. If you're going to play Kyle Anderson out there at the four, let him bring the ball up. Let him contribute and create for other people. Since he's not going to score effectively himself, let him be that creator on the ball, getting Mike open shots, getting Shelvin Mack open shots, who has been good throughout this year at the three ball, and so has Garrett Temple. So You know, that's something I think they should be using. They should be using Kyle Anderson for. Now, I just looked up some lineups, and if you look at the lineups, who's played the most, Kyle Anderson, you know, it's basically Shelvin Mack, Garrett Temple, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, and either Kyle Anderson or Jaren Jackson. Kyle Anderson is a plus 6.2 in the net rating for offensive ratings. And with JJ, with Jaren Jackson Jr. in there, they are negative 3.1. So if that tells you anything, they are a slightly better lineup. Now that's, you know, this, the lineup sample size is quite small still. So, you know, there's really, it's not that much to read into, but I just thought it was interesting to note that Kyle Anderson's in that, is in that lineup is still better technically on the, in your net ratings than Kyle and then Jaren Jackson is. So, you know, I think everybody disagrees with the situation because they lost. If they won, it's a different situation, and you're praising Kyle, or you're praising JB Bickerstaff for playing Kyle Anderson and for matching up with them correctly, and you know that's why you brought Kyle here and this, that, and the other. Instead, they lose, and you, everybody cries for Jaren Jackson to be out there, and I get it. Like I said, I see both sides of it. I see that Jaren Jackson could help on the offensive end, but I think you made the right call. I think you put him out there, and you try to play your better defense, your hanging out on defense, and create offense through switching and being able to stay with your guys. I don't think that if you put Jaren Jackson out there, I think he is worse on the defensive end than you probably were already. So, you know, it's a bit of hindsight now, knowing the situation now, people want to question it, and that's fine. You know, JB's going to get questioned all year long because, like I said, There's nothing to tell us that he's a good coach yet. And so we'll see as the year goes on. He's still got a lot of figuring out to do. He's still got a lot of figuring out to do with the lineups. Who's going to come off the bench? Who's going to score the basketball besides Mark and Mike, as we already talked about? So that's something that they're going to have to figure out. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting with the lineups. I think that JB made the right call. It didn't work out, and that's happened sometimes, but the Grizzlies didn't lose because Jaren Jackson wasn't in the game at the end of the quarter or at the end of the, They didn't lose because Jaren Jackson wasn't in the game at the end of the game. Jeez, that took forever to get out. But they lost because they couldn't make damn shots. They couldn't make a basket. We already talked about this. They shot 1 for 16 as a team besides Mike, and they shot 4 from 24 from three. They had 24 points off of 16 turnovers. This is the reasons they lost the game. They lost the game because they have no offense besides Mark and Mike. They didn't lose the game because Jaren Jackson wasn't in the game at the end of the game. So that's not the reason they lost. So, but anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk about coming off the break, we're going to talk about the Dylan Brooks injury, what it means to the Grizzlies, and what he can, you know, what they can do to possibly overcome that injury with Dylan Brooks out after the break. Welcome back to the show. Dylan Brooks, as I mentioned, injured MCL sprain, 6 to 8 weeks. So that is a lot of time for someone that I think is pretty important. I mean, Dylan Brooks being out forces you to use people like Marshawn Brooks, which I've already talked to. I don't think it's going to be good long-term. Marshawn Brooks is like, I don't know, 16 or 17, 18% on the year for three. I mean, as a guy who is billed as a bucket getter, you know, someone who can go out there and get shots, he hasn't done a whole lot of it. But he will get his opportunity. He will get his opportunity to show, prove me wrong, prove whomever wrong, that he is that person. Now, he hasn't really gotten the opportunity to because of Dylan Brooks has been in front of him. But Marshawn Brooks will, and even speaking of Wayne Seldon, who's going to get more minutes, those guys are going to have the opportunity now to prove who they are in this NBA. And so it'll be interesting to see how they go along in the next few games, because you have at least, it'll be 2 weeks, I think, before Jamichael Green gets back. He comes back in a few weeks, which would be a huge help for the Grizzlies. Again, just having a third big rotation back and someone who can rebound the ball. And I believe the injury update I saw that Omri Caspi is going to be able to come back hopefully within the next week or so. That'll even still be big. I mean, it'd just be honestly just another body. They only played 8 guys last night. They, you know, besides those 8 guys we talked about, you're looking at Ivan Rabb, DJ Stephens, Yuta, Jevon Carter. I mean, these guys are really, you know, are two-way guys and guys who are not even going to play. Now, frankly, I think you probably should roll out Jevon Carter out there and see what he can get. I'd like to know what he could do in an NBA game. That's the only person, you know, I think that should be out there. And then Ivan Rabb, you know, if you think he's a rebounder, if you think that's what you need help with, I mean, I don't know if there's any place for him right now. Clearly, JB doesn't see them. He's gotten a few minutes here and there, but it's been very sparingly. But Dylan Brooks is somebody that was, you know, didn't start the year off great, but it's come along very, very, very quickly. Was a guy that was really kind of coming into his own this year, coming off the bench and really creating. And he really is the only person that is able to get us create, you know, to really create a shot besides Mike Conley on this team. And especially in a secondary role. I mean, he was missed last night. You know, plays defensive, you know, is not a great defender, but plays hard. And that's really what you want from your role players. That you want guys that are going to play hard, and maybe not even, they might not be the best defenders, but you want them to play hard every time. So, and that's what Dylan Brooks is going to give you. He's going to play hard all the time. And he's the guy on offense is going to give you buckets. Has shown that. He's gotten, you know, 17 and 18 a couple games back. I mean, he's scoring, you know, probably 10 a game right now. If I had to look at, you know, if I had to guess on his averages, I don't have him in front of me, but it's somebody that, you know, can create his own shot. You know, Dylan Brooks, if you think about this, has an offensive rating of 107 this year. That's the highest of the team. Higher than Mike, higher than Mark. I mean, that's how good he's been, you know, quietly this year, I think, for this team. I mean, he started off very slow, started off very bad, but has kind of found his role with his team, and he was getting better and better. So it's a big deal, I think, bigger than probably we even know, that Dylan Brooks is out for 6 to 8 weeks. So getting Omri Cassidy back will help, but I'm not sure it's going to help as much as we need it to. So the Grizzlies are going to, you know, clearly, they're not going to go out. I don't think they're going to go out and get anybody. That would surprise me. What's going to happen is, like I said before, Wayne Selden, Marshawn Brooks, going to get a lot of minutes, going to get in 20 plus minutes a night probably. So they're going to have their time to do whatever they think they can do. And this is to be the time to show it. But, you know, Marshawn Brooks was, he is in double figures last night with 10 points. He was 4 from 9, though, one for two on the, from beyond 3 points, for the year. I think he's shooting 29% from three on the year. He's just taking about two a game. He's making half a one a game. He's making 0.6 a game. So, not good for him. Shooting 47% from the field. Just something that, you know, like I said, is if he's billed as a bucket getter, you want that to be him, you know, and he hasn't really shown that this year. To be fair to him, he hasn't really gotten a chance. He hasn't gotten consistent minutes, I think, all year. So he's gonna get that now with Dylan Brooks out. So we'll see what he can do. But Dylan Brooks being out is not good for the Grizzlies. I think it's very unfortunate that he went down. But at least, you know, silver lining, it's not an ACL tear. It's not something that he has to have surgery. Something he, you know, can come back on the 6 week side. Once you get there, it's really about being able to cut and move and pain management. I've strained my MCL several times in my life. I'm not an NBA player. So it's a big difference, than a normal human and an NBA player straining their MCL. So we'll see. Hopefully Dylan Brooks can come back sooner rather than later. But coming up on tomorrow's show, we're going to preview the Bucks game. I'm working on trying to get someone from the Bucks area to talk on this podcast to really see what we can find out about the team. This will be the first time they played them this year. We're going to be interested in introducing a new segment for Wednesdays. Every Wednesday, we're going to be doing a rankings update. It's going to be a check on where the Grizzlies stack up against the rest of the league in terms of stats, some key stats that are helpful for the Grizzlies. So just kind of where they stack up against everybody in the league as far as pace, three-pointers are concerned, defensive ratings, you know, how well they can be throughout the year, because they're going to have to be a top-notch defensive team, and they're going to have to be middle-of-the-road offensive team. So we'll see how, as the year goes, we'll see how that changes on our week, our Wednesday segment of rankings update. But anyway, thanks for listening today. Again, if you have questions for the show, please hit me up on Twitter at King_producer. You can hit the show up on Twitter as well at Locked On Grizz. I run both those accounts. Please talk with me, give me feedback. If you don't like something that we're doing on the show, please let me know. If you do like something, please let me know. Either way, want to make it a good show for you guys. So if there's something you don't like, please shout, give me a shout out. Let me know. I'll try to fix things or change things to where it's a good show for everybody to listen to every day. So, but anyway, you can again find me online at Twitter at King_producer. If you want to be a featured sponsor of the show, love to have you. Please email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or online at LockedOnGrizzlies.com.